Let's see who called the Santa tip line today.
Santa Claus needs some help. He needs to know who's been naughty and who's been nice. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 833-431-0905. Let's check those voicemails.
Hi, Santa. I'm calling for my son, Logan and Lucas. I don't want them to get anything. They're so bad and so naughty. They talk back. They think they act like little punks. I don't even think they deserve coal from you. So this Christmas, don't get them a single thing, not even a crumb. They keep touching Jinx. So Jinx is laying there dead. Lost all his magic because they keep touching him. So Logan and Lucas don't get anything. Nothing. Zero. Thanks, Santa. You can bring Bria something.
Dad is mad.
Okay.
Dad is really mad.
There's so many things we need to discuss. One, when daddy calls you a punk.
Yeah. Like, he's mad.
He's so mad.
And I have a feeling like these kids have been thinking they're funny this entire time throughout the process. And you know, dad has now said, oh, you think it's funny?
Yep.
Here we go. This is where we're at.
Poor Jinx. Just trying to be an elf on a shelf. Report back to Santa. You let him know what's going on. He's dead. Jinx is dead. They've touched Jinx. He's lost his magic. He's lying there lifeless.
But now that dad's on the phone, there's just wailing going on in the background.
Right.
No!
And I want to know, who is Bria? How come she still gets something?
She's good.
She is all good.
She's the dog. She's the sister. Whoever she is.
She's not a punk.
She's fine. Yeah. That's right.
My name is Robert. I've been really nice, I think. And I would like to have, maybe like a gaming laptop. Yeah, that'd be a nice wish. Thank you, Santa.
Rob, have a plan when you're calling Santa.
Oh, he had a plan. He was just pretending like he was like coming to him. You think a gaming laptop is something you magically come up with? He was like, here, I'm just going to act like it's no big deal.
Right.
And I've been a good boy, so why wouldn't you bring me a gaming laptop? Oh, that seems like an appropriate gift.
It's true. It is a pricey gift there, so yeah.
Hi, Santa. Okay, is it ready yet?
Yep.
Hi, Santa. I've been good. My little sister Rosie been bad. She was pulling hair and put poop on my mom's fingernails. All done.
What?
All done. I know exactly what has happened here. Rosie is a baby.
Okay.
Now, if you are a parent to a baby, you understand when you change the diaper, there is a lot of movement. There is crawling, there is trying to escape, there is leg kicking, and inevitably, it sounds disgusting to say it, but there is parts of that dirty diaper that gets under your fingernails.
Oh, God.
It is a real thing.
Thank you.
It happens all the time.
No, that's enough.
And that's why baby Rosie has been put on the naughty list.
Okay, I'm disgusted.
Well, I'm just saying, it's really hard to change a baby's diaper when they start moving.
You can call the Santa tip line 833-431-0905 and leave a message for the big guy whenever you want. Wash your hands.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? 1-800-330-9999. It's like group therapy. You just get it off your chest. Your job, you just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Lori.
Okay, if you're one of those people who push your way onto the elevator before letting everyone else off, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, it's an awkward thing, right? I always pray for the moment, like, you know, when you're pushing something. So this just happened to me at IKEA, as a matter of fact. You know, IKEA, the thing is, the carriage goes anyway. It doesn't just go forward or whatever. Like, the wheels, they're like those four-way wheels.
Yeah.
So it's already hard to turn it or whatever. So when you're standing on the IKEA elevator and there's, like, you know, eight of you in there with your carts, you just basically fall out of the elevator when it opens up. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's standing right there and there's nowhere to go, I'm running you over.
Yeah.
It's like a bulldozer.
My favorite is I found like the first in line to go on the elevator, but there's people behind me and I'm waiting for somebody to come off. They will just go right around me like, as if I'm what do you think I'm standing here for?
Like you're asleep at the wheel.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Gary, that's all I need to know about you.
If you drive a mobility cart around the grocery store and don't need it, that's all I need to know about you.
I think there's two types of people on this planet, Anna. I think there's those that can't wait to get in the mobility cart. Doesn't matter if they got an ankle sprain, they got nothing going on with them whatsoever, they're a drunk teenager out on a Friday night. You know, any one of those things is possible. Then there's the other person, when even if they're injured, they don't take the mobility cart, or they're hesitant to do it, or they get on it and they feel like everybody's watching them the entire time, like they're faking.
Right.
I've been in there before after surgery. I definitely needed the cart, and I felt like everybody thought I was a liar.
Even after I had my knee surgery, I refused to use it.
See?
At Disney World. I mean, I couldn't even walk. I was, like, hobbling around ridiculously, but I was like, nope, not going to do it. I need to leave it for the people that can't move. Meanwhile, I'd rather ride my husband on a back, like, you know, like I'm a
like
child.
A mule.
Yeah.
Right. And people are just pushing by you on that cart.
Yep. Francis, that's all I need to know about you.
If you bring your sick kid to my son's birthday party, that's all I need to know about you.
Did that happen?
It happened. And everyone got sick after. You know how awful that is to have all these kids sick?
It's the season for it. I feel like all the kids are sick. And like it's like they got to stay home. Yeah. They got to
Well, you know
home.
The kid begs, though. The kid is always like, oh, no. I want to go to the party.
Yeah.
But when you're dropping him off at the curb of the place and he's like walking death climbing in there. Yeah, you probably should rethink that, right? You can't go.
Oh, gosh. That's the only good thing about my little one is that she doesn't even know. Like, you know, it's like if she misses a birthday party, it's like you just never bring it up again. And they don't even realize
when they're so young, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when was Georgie's birthday party? No, that's not yet, Mama. That's like in 3 months, you know? Goblin mode has been named the Oxford English Dictionary 2022 Word of the Year.
I mean, it seems like such a strange thing, right? I've never even heard that before in my life.
Me neither. And I thought I was the only one, which is why I was shocked when 93% of the people that voted chose it. And they chose it over words like I stand with and metaverse, which I thought was really interesting because at least I had heard of those two.
Right.
So what is goblin mode? Here's the lady on the internet explaining.
It means a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations.
Okay, so it's basically
so
somebody's a slob. You nasty.
You nasty.
I thought goblin mode was going to be like a different level in Fortnite or something like that. Like, you know, like when you used to play Super Mario Brothers and you would get to secret levels, like that would be goblin mode.
I have no idea what that is, but okay.
Okay.
Right.
Wasn't there a certain
sounds
mode?
Like a troll or
like
something.
When you do left, right, up, down,
oh,
A,
yeah,
B,
like
A, B.
Oh, yeah, like a code.
Yeah,
oh, I see
like
what
that.
You're saying. Okay, like a super code.
All right. So I was like, wait a minute. I'm glad to say here, Raven, that you didn't know what it was either, because we had producer John go around the office and ask everybody what goblin mode is since so many people voted for this.
Goblin mode, I guess when somebody is angry and they become nasty.
Not really. It's really more just, I guess, being lazy.
Not really.
Yeah.
You get really angry and like big and green, but maybe the goblin is more cut than the Hulk because the Hulk is bulky. But goblin mode is probably like you're like a little more cut and lean.
Wait a minute. Did somebody just sexualize a goblin?
All of a sudden, it was like, it's like a hot goblin. It's not the Hulk who's giant and too big, but it's like a lean, it's like a Ryan Reynolds.
He did like
hot,
a water cut from the Hulkster. Right?
Beautiful.
So weird.
Just very sexy. No.
So random.
I know.
I mean, somebody says goblin and you go, shirt off.
Yeah.
Okay.
You turn into a gremlin. I don't know.
Did she turn into a gremlin right at that moment?
She got crazy, huh? Whoa.
All right, yeah, no.
She's like, they turned into a gremlin. Ah, funny. Ah, I'm so funny. Wow. The villain right there. She's got a villainous laugh.
What is goblin mode, our coworkers?
Goblins. They're creepy. Go creepy. Start act creepy. You act creepy to people in whatever way that might be, whether it's lurking around or being creepy. Me.
I mean, she got real creepy just explaining it. I was like, she's like crazy lurking
around. I just say that this is supposed to be a creative building, and they feel like really stuck in a rut on that one.
That's creepy and lurking.
Maybe it's when you're ghoulish and scary and maybe a little sneaky, maybe a little sinister, sneaking up type.
Somebody wanted to be a goblin.
What?
Right there.
Yeah.
We have all sorts of types in this office.
It's a weird, weird building we work in. Tell me if you think this is messed up. So one of my good girlfriends was dating this guy for 6 years. 6 years they were dating. Not like 5 hot minutes, like 6 years. And they're grown-ups, right? They both had children from previous relationships who are older. Like, they weren't little kids. They were, like, probably, like, they're, I think he's, like, 22 now. So they're older. And he came to my girlfriend at the beginning of October and said to her, you know, I don't think this is working out. I don't see a long-term future with you. And he broke up with her. And he said, the reason why I'm doing it now is because I don't want to go into the holiday season with us being together. And he said, I think it's better for the kids, too, that they know. Hmm. The beginning of October. And I was thinking about this because we were having dinner the other night. And I was like, I don't know what's worse. That, like, being like, he wants her out of his life before Halloween so he doesn't have to deal with anything. Or, like, what do you do if you're at this point where you're getting real close to the holidays and you're not happy in a relationship? Do you break up now? Do you have to wait it out? Like,
well,
it's so strange, right?
I mean, it sucks because when you're at the end of a relationship and it becomes very apparent, like, it's super apparent. You can't walk away from it. You know, and it's kind of like it's an anchor on you every single day.
She was blindsided by it.
Well,
so that's sad.
But, you know, that's the thing, too, is sometimes in a relationship that happens.
Yeah.
One party is completely over it and the other one just doesn't know. And if you're the party that's completely over it, it's terrible. On the other hand, sticking around through the holidays or different things, it becomes a slippery slope. I had a situation where I was in a relationship. We were living together, and it was over. It was very apparent to me it was over. And it should have been apparent to her in so many different ways, too. But, I kind of was like, oh, well, I got to wait for the holidays, and we had a lease going on. It just seemed like a terrible time to break up. You know, and so I waited, and then her grandmother got sick. And so then it was like, I can't break up with her because her grandmother's sick.
Right.
And then her grandmother ended up passing. And this is like 3-4 months. And then I broke up with her like 2 months after her grandmother passed. And do you know what she said?
What?
How could you do that to me right after my grandmother passed?
I mean, at that point, it's like a year you were trying to break up with this chick.
I mean, seriously. And of course, then you're in that argument. You're having that conversation. You say, well, you know, I really felt this way a while. Well, why did you let me go through that with us together? What are you talking about then?
Yeah,
I mean, if there was somebody that would have been better for you to deal with your failing grandmother to, I mean, I guess I would have gladly said, hey, have at it.
Right. So, like, what do you do? Like, let's say,
terrible.
Like, what is the right answer? Is there even a right answer to this? Like, okay, so it's the middle of December right now.
Yes.
Okay. The holidays are going to be here in 2 weeks.
It's 2 seconds away. Right.
Do you just cut it off? Like, listen, here we are. This is not going to work out. We're going to have to make a decision. This is over now. Or at this point, do you suck it up? What are the rules? Like, what do you think are the right, wrong ways to break up with somebody when the holidays are approaching?
Even having lived through this, I would probably make the same mistake again. And I would just be like, no, you got to stay the course through Christmas and through New Year's. Maybe you can break up around President's Day or something. I don't know.
Because then it's Valentine's Day.
Martin Luther King Day, the best day to break up with somebody.
You're going to dump somebody on Valentine's Day? That doesn't make sense. Was he right to do it at the beginning of October? He was like, here's the season. Let's just cut this off right now.
Yeah, save each other the money on gifts.
Right.
Maybe you got somebody new to kiss by New Year's Eve.
I don't know. What do you think? What's the breakup protocol around the holidays? You've been dating somebody, but you know it's not going anywhere. Do you stick it out at this point and get through Christmas and New Year's? Or do you just end it?
Whenever I'm holding off on a breakup, it just seems to go on and on and on and on. There's always another reason that pops up that you're like, well, if I do it now, it's too bad. In the meantime, you're miserable the entire time.
Yeah, looking over our Facebook page, Eric said Thanksgiving is the cutoff. After that, it's too late. Ray wrote, you have to stay with them throughout the entire holidays, but make sure they're standing on the end of family group photos so it's easier to crop them out. Cindy, what do you think?
When there's children involved, you wait a little bit after the holiday. I was served with papers on December 23rd. And it's tough when children know during the holiday. And I think if you don't have children, at least for family members, wait after the holiday. Be civil, be big enough to be amicable to each other.
I think December 23rd is certainly too late.
Yeah, pretty harsh.
That is terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh, Cindy. Sorry to hear that. That's stinky.
The children change everything.
I wanted to say so many mean things about her ex, but then I had to hold it all back because I was going to call him a lot of terrible names.
Tis the season of giving. Yeah. Merlene, breakup protocol, what do you think?
Breaking up with someone has no time nor no season. If it's over, it's over.
Mm.
Regardless of the holiday.
I love it. You're breaking up with people on their birthday. You don't care at all. I love it. Merlene, you are the best. I love it. You're like, you're not the lady I want to date, but you're the girlfriend I want to hang out with. You know what I mean? You're like, no holds barred. I love it.
There you go. Have a great day.
Mom's funeral, you're dumped.
Richard, breakup protocol, what do you think?
It's too late. It's too late. You had to do it by last weekend. That was your last shot. Now you're stuck until January. Oh.
So, like a two-week buffer then? It's like 2 weeks notice than before Christmas, right?
Yeah, it is 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, it's two-week notice.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, they've probably only gotten your gift in the last couple of weeks, so it's still returnable.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, that would certainly be polite. What if you lived together, though? So much harder. Now it's empty on Christmas. Oh, and where are you staying? Back at mom and dad's?
I really do like the idea of the two-week warning. You need to have a two-week warning before any holiday to break up with somebody. Otherwise, you got to suck it up till afterwards.
Well, what if they don't accept your resignation? Right. Like, you want to leave, and she's like, no.
Yeah.
My parents are coming next week. We're going to put this facade on for another few days.
Sherry, what do you think? What do you think is the protocol? You're breaking up with somebody. Like, do you have to wait now till after the holidays?
I think you have to wait. I don't know. To me, it's like, just suck it up, get through it, and then find a good time later.
Okay, but can you break up with them between the day after Christmas and New Year's, or do you have to wait all the way till January 3rd?
I think you just get the flu on New Year's.
What? So you don't show up? But what if you're...
You can't go out.
But if you're faking the flu, oh gosh, okay. Yeah, I guess New Year's Eve is such a good time to kiss somebody new.
Well, yeah, that's why you're faking the flu, but you're out somewhere he's never going to see you. Yeah, you know, that's what you do.
That feels evil.
Yeah, January 3rd, all bets are off. Sorry, I had the flu and I'm breaking up with you.
No, next level.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your coworkers do things and you like kind of roll your eyes and you think to yourself, like, what are they thinking? But I got to tell you what happened, and you have to decide if I'm right that Raven should be embarrassed of himself.
You know what? I'm going to let you frame this story. I'm going to let you do that,
okay.
And then I'll offer corrections as need be, because no doubt there'll be some tune-ups here.
Okay, I'll set from my point of view, and then you say from your point of view.
Sure.
All right, so we walk through our kitchen area here in the offices to get to our conference room where we have our meetings. And after the show, I was walking through the kitchen area into the conference room, and I saw there's a center island in the kitchen. And a lot of times people put things out there to, you know, share with the staff. So if you have extra food or whatever at home, you bring it in, you put it out there and people take it, whatever. So I walk by and there's a beautifully wrapped cake. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's for us. And then I look and it has cellophane on it, it has a giant bow on top, and it has like the paper attached to it to like show that it's like a gift. I go, oh, no.
There was
like
no paper on that cake.
Yes, there was. There
you
was,
know what? You tell your story.
Yes. So I go, oh, no. That's like a gift for somebody. That's like somebody left it there. So I go into the conference room and I sit down. I start doing my work, wait for everybody to show up. 2 minutes later, Raven walks in with the largest piece of coffee cake I've ever seen in my life. And I say, Raven, I go, did you just get that wrapped cake? I go, that was somebody's cake. Go ahead.
That table, that island, is always where people put the communal food, okay? Anything that goes there is gone within 15 to 20 minutes. That is the rule. It always happens that way. I brought in 3 bags of cookies yesterday from a holiday party. They were all gone by within an hour.
But right? They were open.
I walk to our meeting, and I'm walking past this area, and here is this lovely cake, as you mentioned, in the center of the island. It's wrapped in clear cellophane. It has a single bow strapped across it. It has a sticker on it. It is not a sticker from this company. It is a sticker from wherever the cake came from. There was no note attached. There was no to or from or anything like that on it. The cake was in the center of the island, and there was a clipboard on the corner of the island near it. I say to myself, this cake is for everybody. This cake is here. This cake is for enjoyment. I open the cake. I look around. Nobody has come out of anywhere screaming yet. I take a slice of the cake. I leave. I walk away. Then I find out the cake was for a client.
They're client cakes. They're the cakes that the company has purchased to give to our clients. And the woman, the saleswoman, put it there quickly along with her clipboard to run to her office to get something before she was bringing it to her client.
You want to protect a cake? You got to put the clipboard over it. You got to protect it. You got to put it in some sort of box or something like that. I mean, she should have carried it to her cubicle. By the way, Fair note, it was the first cake I had seen. It's not like we're 2 weeks into this cake-giving process here at the company. This is the first day that I've seen one of these cakes. This is the first cake that came out.
Can you help us settle this? Because my mouth, when I saw Raven eating that cake and I knew what had happened, my jaw dropped. I was like, Raven, aren't you embarrassed? Like, that's a client cake. Like, you can't just open a cake that you see that's wrapped beautifully, that is clearly a Christmas present.
You know, it's clear cellophane, man. That's not really wrapping as far as I'm concerned. That's really for safety and protection.
Was Raven right or wrong to open the wrapped cake with the bow? That was it's an unwritten rule that we share food here. It's an unwritten rule. That was not an open thing. Five Call says it all. You're going to decide, should Raven be embarrassed of himself? We are on our way to a meeting, and I noticed on the center island in our kitchen area here at the office, there's a beautifully wrapped cake in cellophane with a bow. And I go, oh, that's not for us, even though it's kind of a communal table. People leave things there for people to share all the time. I walk into my meeting room, sit down. Next thing I know, Raven walks in with a giant piece of cake. He opened a client's cake and ate it just because it was on the communal table.
It didn't have anybody's name on it. It had a sticker from another location. We often get food gifts here at the building. I opened it up. It's a clear cellophane wrapper that says, you're invited. Come eat me. I'm a cake.
Should Raven be embarrassed of himself that he ate a client's cake? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What do you think?
No, he was completely correct. We have a table like that at work, and everybody knows it's like a feeding trough for the vultures.
You know what? Here's the thing. She shouldn't have even put her clipboard on that island.
You would have eaten that,
too? I could have ate the clipboard.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Anything could have happened. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's a communal area.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no safety there. There's no safety net.
Five Call says it all. What do you think? Was Raven right or wrong to eat the cake?
I believe that he actually was okay because it was in the island.
That's right.
So whatever is put there is to share.
That's right.
Because, you know, somebody want to put it beautiful looking for the staff and just want to wrap it up as a gift for everybody.
You know, I thought it was so nice there was a bow on there. I found it to be very considerate.
He also wanted to eat that.
I thought, you know, and had there been a note, I would have expected that note to say something like, thank you, Raven, for a great year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Just for you.
Yeah.
Just
for you. Yeah, right? For the staff, you know?
Thanks for the call.
I leave my coffee cup there sometimes when I run to the bathroom. Would you also eat my coffee cup?
It's a good thing that I'm not allowed to drink coffee anymore. Ann Raven, Five Call says it all. What do you think? Was I right or wrong to eat the cake?
I think it was right. It was on the community table where everybody grabs something. We do the same thing at my work.
See that?
I thought it was fair to eat.
I tell you what, there is a lesson to be learned here from this story and from this conversation, and that is you need to order more cakes.
Okay.
That's all.
Also, just as a side note, now a company-wide email has to go out about this to warn people that if something is put there, it has to be assumed as a communal area, which is ridiculous that we have to have this conversation.
Don't leave the cake there. Don't do it.
Jason, Five Call says it all. Was Raven wrong to eat the cake?
No, and let me tell you why. If that cake was on the table, that is the community table, and it is considered community table, that food, that's a free-for-all. I don't care if it had a bow on it and a clear top. Like, it was there. It was on the table. That cake is open to anybody.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I tell you what. Listen, for all I know, the cake was out there for 30 minutes. I don't know how long that cake's been there. Then if I walk away, I was going into an hour-long meeting. So this is the other part of the story you didn't get. So I had to make a decision because I figured this cake is for everybody. When my meeting's over, this cake is gone. This cake is already out of here.
Yeah, it would be in the client's hands in their car going to their office.
It might
where
have
it
been.
It
may have been.
Yes.
But this time, I got a piece of cake before it went. The good news is there was a whole closet full of cake somewhere.
Imagine they cancel their account because you ate the cake.
Would be sad.
It's the 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show.
It's 12 Tasks of Christmas. Every day a different task. We never know who it's for or what it is. And if you missed it earlier, we found out that today it's for both Raven and producer Sean. It's the fruitcake challenge. So you're going to go head to head. I'm going to give a topic. You go back to back trying to name items that relate to the topic. The first person that stumbles has to take a bite of this Amazon fruitcake. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been feeling well over the last couple days. And the minute I got a whiff of it, it turned my stomach.
Anytime you open something and it's got like a slimy sheen to it.
I can't even look at it.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's making me sick. All right.
Take a look.
Stop it. Come. You know I'm going to really get sick. So
all right,
let's not. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
All right. So here we go. Three different topics. The first topic is Christmas movies. Raven, you go first.
A Christmas Story.
Elves.
What a Wonderful World.
Elf. Gosh.
Wait a minute. No, wait, hold on a second.
I already blew it.
You blew it. First of all, it's A Wonderful Life.
Oh, Wonderful Life.
And you already said Elf.
I said Elves. Elves was the first one, which was that horror Christmas movie we talked about.
That's
terrible
right.
Recall, too. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
All right. Raven,
take a
bite of the Amazon fruitcake.
Oh, I can't believe I lost it.
Big old bite.
Oh, my God, I can't watch you eat it. It's making me sick inside. Is it good?
No. It's not good at all.
Well, hurry up and swallow. We got to get to the second round.
Says, is it good?
I mean, no one said that bite was excessively big.
He said take a big one.
Okay.
Why'd you listen to me?
I know.
I don't know.
All right. Are we ready? We've got the next round.
Oh, God, I got to swallow it.
Swallow it. Spit it out if you have to spit it out. Do what you got to do.
No, all right.
Just
swallow. What's the next round?
The next round is holiday songs. This time we're going to start with producer Sean. Mm-hmm. Sean, go ahead.
Jingle Bell Rock.
Sleigh Ride.
Winter Wonderland.
Jingle Bells.
Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
Deck the Halls.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Silent Night.
Oh, God, why is it so many different colors? Oh, my gosh, I can't look at it.
It's like oiling and secreting on the plate. It stained the paper plate that it's on.
It tastes so bad.
I hope you brought your water.
I did.
All right.
I can still taste it.
It's disgusting. It's Amazon fruitcake.
I'm going to be ruined for the rest of the day.
Don't buy fruitcake on Amazon. That's what I'm saying. All right, night last one. And this is going to be it.
All right.
And then you have to take another bite of that disgusting cake.
Not me, man. Not me.
I still have fruitcake in my mouth.
Come on, Lord, help me.
Swallow it. Okay. Things you find in a stocking. Raven, you go first. Go.
Are you ready, Sean? Mm-hmm. I want to give him a right shot. Deodorant.
Candy.
Gum.
Toys.
A candy cane.
Coal.
No!
Yeah!
Eat the fruitcake! Eat the fruitcake! All right, we survived it. We survived another task of Christmas.
I mean, I haven't.
The real winner today? Nobody.
No. It seems like everywhere you look, there's more and more toys. But what are the best ones to buy for your kids this holiday season? Or at least the ones they should be asking Santa Claus for? Jackie Cucco, she's a senior editor at the Toy Insider. Jackie, what are like the hottest toys this holiday season?
Okay, there's so many this year. So there's this really cool drone called the Sky Viper hand-controlled force hover drone. And it involves no remote control. You completely control this drone using your hands.
What? I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's like you're a sorcerer.
I mean, that sounds crazy. How big is this thing?
It's pretty small, actually. And it's about $23, too. So
I mean, that's an incredible price. What age group?
Yeah, I would say about 6 and up. But it's a wide age range. Teenagers are going to love it, too. And adults. So basically, you throw it up into the air, and it'll just immediately start flying. And then it kind of senses your hand movements. So like you could put your hand under it or on the side of it, make it do different tricks, but no remote. So it's kind of like it's flying on its own.
If your kid isn't into drones and using their magic hands to make them fly, where else should they head?
Okay, so something that's a little more artsy and creative, but still has that tech element to it, is the 3Dupler Start Plus Maker Bundle. And this is kind of like a 3D printer in the form of a pen.
If you want to see these for yourself, you can go to thetoyinsider.com and check them out. But like, I'm looking at this, Jackie, and it's like basically you're using a pen to make something come to life and build it. If you have like a creative kid, this is perfect.
Jackie, you are solving all my shopping woes right now. What else you got?
Okay, so toys based on kids' favorite characters and TV shows are always popular. And some of the big ones this year, there's this show on Nickelodeon called Santiago of the Seas. And it's about this 8-year-old pirate who sails the seas and goes on adventures. So there's this new pirate ship from Mattel, and it's based on Santiago. But it's really cool because it has this compass on it. And it'll activate different characters' voices, but they give kids story prompts. So it helps with imaginative play if kids kind of don't know where to begin.
And this is good for the little ones, too, right? This is more like for over the age of 3.
Yeah, I would say preschool age kids will love this.
I mean, pirate ships, drones without remotes. I just want to be eight again.
Jackie, I want to fast forward to this mini foodies food court because I keep hearing about all these mini food things and I don't understand what they are or why they're so popular or why the kids are so into it. Can you explain it to me?
It's like mini versions of real food brands. So you can find like a foot-long Subway sandwich, but it's teeny tiny. You fit it into the palm of your hand. It's just a fascination with mini things of real, mini versions of real life objects.
It's a perfect spot for a photo shoot with a gerbil.
And how about this Light Bright? So we grew up with Light Bright, but they've taken it to the next level now.
This is a Light Bright wall art pop wow edition. So it's huge. It's 16 by 16 inches and it's meant to be wall art. So it's actually meant for like teenagers or even adults to build. And it has 6,000 mini pegs. So it's like a huge Light Bright.
I'm looking at this. I'm like, my teenager would love this.
Yeah, it's like retro artwork that they're creating.
Yeah, right, yeah, hanging cool. Right in her room. Like, remember how they, like, the light boxes that you could change the letters was really in over the last few years?
Sure.
This is like taking it to 100 higher levels. It's so cool looking.
Yeah, and gives more value to the toy, too. It's like you're building it, but then you can actually use it as artwork.
Very cool. Jackie Kuko, the senior editor of the Toy Insider. For more info on any of these toys, you want to check them out for yourself, you can head to thetoyinsider.com.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Jeff and Holly. All right, Jeff, why don't we start with you? What's going on?
Hey. Here's what's going on. I went to Home Depot. This is a couple of months ago with my father-in-law. While there, he asked to borrow. Well, he wanted me to put everything we were getting on my card. It was about $300. Not a giant amount, but like also, you know, it's an amount you feel, you know. So put it on the card. As I said, that was 3 months ago, and he has yet to pay me back. Hasn't brought it up. I want to tell him about it. I would be like, hey, we need that money. Like, it wasn't just me giving you $300. You said you would pay it back. Like, I need it back.
And what's wrong with that, Holly?
The way I look at it is, he didn't ask you to put it on our credit card for no reason. He didn't have his wallet with him. Like, you guys just ran over there. Like, you know, so you were doing him a favor. But I just don't think, like, bringing it up is, like, he'll pay you back when he can. Like, they're not, you know, rich or anything. Like, they may be, you know, needing that for the holidays this season and he's planning on getting it back to you after the season. I don't know. I just think asking right now would be really, rude.
Yeah, but it's the holiday. Like, we could use that money, you know? Like, that's my problem with it.
Holly, do you think that your parents just don't have the money to pay you guys back? You think that's the issue? That's why you don't want to ask for it?
No, I know that they probably could. I think they just probably are going to wait till they're, like, in a really, you know, good situation where they're like, okay, you know, now we can, like, if, because I'm sure it's stuff he, you know, wanted to get, and he was like, you know, I'll just put it on Jeff, and then I'll just pay Jeff, and when I can, like, later on. Like, I don't think he was, you know, trying to take advantage.
If that's the case, though, and Holly, then why the ruse of I forgot my wallet? If you're saying that you think that he probably figured I'll just put it on Jeff, and that's fine, and that'll buy me time, then why the ruse if I forgot my wallet or whatever? I mean,
I believe he forgot his wallet. I don't think that was a ruse. I think, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't really know. I sort of just feel like confronting him about it right now, like around the holidays, is just asking for drama that we don't need. And, you know, let's get to the new year, and if it's still a thing, we can be like, hey, you know, he did this. Like, can you give us half or a little bit of it or something?
You're negotiating, too. Yeah, if you're going to negotiate, I mean, why? It's just a gift, right? I mean, you're either asking for it or you're not, right?
If you can get half now and then, like, in, you know, later on, if it's, okay, you know, half later, like, we don't know if he forgot. He's that way. Like, he's very forgetful about stupid things like this. So he may just literally not be thinking about it.
I would think that's all the more reason you can ask right now before Christmas while you need the money.
Well, obviously, if they were in a stable financial situation, then it wouldn't be a big deal. But Holly, you think that it may be, and it may be more of an issue because of that.
Yeah, they're like on a very fixed budget. So yeah. I have a feeling that like a $300 purchase to, like, in a month is something they would have to really discuss.
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Holly. If times are tight for them and you know that they're on a fixed budget and this $300, they're probably purposely avoiding paying it back right now by necessity, not by choice, then that's a different situation. And maybe you hold off and wait another month until after the holidays are over. But they could see Jeff's side, too. He didn't say, can I borrow $300 for like 6 months? He just said, hey, can we just put this on your card for now? And it would have been a different conversation if you would have known that it was going to be on your card for a long time.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What would you do in this situation? So Jeff was at Home Depot with his father-in-law, Holly's dad. And his father-in-law basically was like, oh, can you put that on your card? You know, I forgot my wallet. And he rang up about $300. And Jeff was like, yeah, okay, no big deal. Sure. And he's never paid him back. So Jeff says, I'm going to ask your dad for this money. Like, that's not cool what he did. But Holly disagrees.
Well, listen, Holly has come up with 7 different reasons why he shouldn't, all right, ask her father right at this time. Whether they're on a fixed budget or, you know, I'm sure that he's planning on paying you back. And maybe he's just planning it out to do it in steps after the holidays. But, you know, Jeff makes a valid point where he says, listen, this was 3 months ago and there's been no mention of it since then. Holly also says he could have forgot. So, I mean, if all these things are true about her father, what's the harm of just, you know, mentioning to the man?
Would you even bring it up if it was your father-in-law, $300? 1-800-330-9999. Greg, you're on Holly's side, right?
I just think they should weigh the relationship value versus the chance of offending this man. And if he's really hurting for money, you know, because it's $300, I realize it's $300, but it's only $300. Is it worth having a bad scene with your father-in-law over? And does Jeff really need the money badly? If he needs it badly, it's one thing. But if it's a matter of principle and he feels like he's just been taken advantage of a little bit, maybe overlook it a little for the sake of the relationship with your in-laws.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. So touchy. What would you do in this situation? Jeff went to Home Depot with his father-in-law, and his father-in-law was like, oh, I forgot my wallet. Do you mind picking this up? So he put about $300 on his credit card. Well, now a few months have gone by. His father-in-law hasn't offered any of the money back, has never brought it up again, and he says to his wife, Holly, I'm going to tell your dad he's got to pay me back. But Holly's not on board with that.
I think tone makes a lot of difference here, right? Holly just doesn't want him to bring it up at all. And she gave about 1,000 excuses. Well, maybe he forgot. Maybe he's planning this as part of his budget. I'm sure he knows that he owes it to you. He'll pay it back when he feels he's ready. Do they have the money? Yes. But does he want to give it to you now? Probably not. I mean, seriously, what are you supposed to do with that if you're Jeff?
Would you bring it up to your father-in-law and risk embarrassing him? 1-800-330-9999. Rebecca, whose side are you on?
On the wife's side, I think what she said a little while ago, I think it's true. I think that it'll cause a little drama right now, and that is probably the unnecessary drama that they need. I think they should just wait till after the holiday to ask that about the $300.
Here's my only thing with it, is that Holly changed her position about 5 times, and she had about 7 different reasons as to why not to ask her father. Just give me the straight reason, which is you don't want me to ask because you think it will embarrass him.
Well, she's embarrassed to say that. Well, I mean, you know,
that is the thing that resonates with me. Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side because they should at least discuss it. I mean, there's nothing, no harm in discussing it. And if it was a ruse or whether they own the money, I mean, they could at least work something out if you discuss it. If you don't discuss it, you can't do anything about it.
Right.
And you just get stressed.
Right. Then it's just on people's minds forever.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. This one is a no-brainer. The father-in-law needs to pay the money back. And by asking him now, it sets a precedent that he just can't borrow money like this because it does have an effect on his daughter and her husband.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jeff, our audience agreed with you today.
Hey.
You know, if he would have phrased it differently, that he needed to borrow the money and maybe a little while he got back to you, it would have been a different situation. But Holly, that's not what he did. He made it sound like, oh, spur of the moment, I'll get you back later. And that really wasn't the plan. And just mentioning to them that you really could use that cash is not a big deal.
I don't know, I guess. I don't know. I still think it's, like, right, like too close to Christmas to, like, start it. Like, I don't know. He's a stubborn man, and Jeff is, I think he's just making too big of a deal out of it. Like, the $300, I know we can use it, but we don't we're not going to be like out without it. Whatever. I don't know.
Well, the votes weren't with you.
Right.
So, sounds like, Jeff, you've got the support of the people to go ahead and mention this to your father-in-law.
That's great. Like, I just want to find out what's going on. I don't see how, like, that's a problem, so.
Listen, it's not like you're mentioning it to your father-in-law and you're standing there with your hand out and you're expecting him to put $300 in it at that moment. You're saying to your father-in-law, hey, remember that time we went and did that thing? What do you think? Can I see that again sometime or whatever? And then if he wants to hold out till January or whatever, like you suspected, Holly, he could say, you know what, let me give you $50 right now and I'll see you in a couple weeks or whatever. I'm sure that that's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah, as long as it's just like casual and not confrontational, I think like...
No, you should go kick the door in and be like, give me my money, old man.
Right, that's just, definitely...
Yeah, that's like, the way I would handle
hey,
it.
Yeah. You know, I was paying off, I was trying to pay off some bills and I saw this charge and I didn't know if you forgot about it, but, you know, this is... I'm going to pay this off, but, like, let me know when you can get it back to me, you know? Just, like, mentioning it like that, maybe.
Yeah, lie for your money.
Right.
Yeah, good.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. And if anybody has an issue, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,200 thanks to Discover Card. We can talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we can talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Hey, Kate.
Hi.
Hi. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kate.
All right, Kate. We've got $1,200 on the line today. Raven's walking out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. And now I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven comes back in. He answers the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do this, Kate? I want to give you some money.
I hope so.
All right. Number one, Selena Gomez crashed Steve Martin and Martin Short's hosting stint on Saturday Night Live. The three of them star in what Hulu show together?
Only Murders in the Building.
Number two, Shelley Duvall did a rare on-camera interview about her return to acting after a near 20-year hiatus. In The Shining, what does Jack Nicholson use to break down the door that Duvall's character was hiding behind?
An app.
Number three, Wednesday has surpassed Dahmer as the second most popular English language series of all time on what streaming service?
Netflix.
Number four, Adam Sandler will receive the 2023 Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. In which movie does Adam Sandler fistfight Bob Barker?
Click.
Number five, Jennifer Coolidge says she tried to talk White Lotus creator out of the ending of season 2. I'm not going to give you any spoilers on what happens. What other actress on the show that starred on Parks and Rec besides Jennifer Coolidge earned a Golden Globes nomination for Best Actress in a Supporting Role?
Rashida Jones.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Kate.
Not bad, Kate. $1,200. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Selena Gomez crashed Steve Martin and Martin Short's hosting stint on Saturday Night Live. The three of them star in what Hulu show together?
Only Murders in the Building.
I still have not watched that. I need to watch that.
I hear it's great.
Yes. Number two, Shelley Duvall did a rare on-camera interview about her return to acting after a 20-year hiatus.
Mm.
In The Shining, what does Jack Nicholson use to break down the door that Duvall's character was hiding behind?
An axe.
Yes.
Here's Johnny.
Number three, Wednesday has surpassed Dahmer as the second most popular English language series of all time on what streaming service?
It's got to be Netflix.
That's right. Do you know what the number one is? Number one? Take a guess.
Number one, Stranger Things?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Number four, Adam Sandler will receive the 2023 Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. In which movie does Adam Sandler fist fight Bob Barker?
Happy Gilmore.
That's right.
Who won that fight after all?
I think Bob Barker
was
won
Bob
it.
Barker.
Yeah, Bob Barker won.
That's a line from Shooter McGavin.
Okay.
McGavin, whatever his name was.
McGavin. Yeah.
Shooter McGavin. Who won that fight after all?
Number five, Jennifer Coolidge says she tried to talk to the White Lotus creator out of the ending of season 2, but no spoilers on what happens. What other actress on the show that starred on Parks and Rec besides Jennifer Coolidge earned a Golden Globes nomination for Best Actress in a Supporting Role?
Oh, gosh. You know, I haven't watched it. This is another show I hear is great. I'm just going to take a shot. It's a Aubrey Plaza.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, and she's
look at that.
And she also has another show that's coming out right now that's supposed to be fantastic. She has really, like, you know, from being like the sidekick on Parks and Rec, has established herself as an incredible actress. She's got a lot of big roles coming her way.
She's actually been quietly awesome the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry, Kate. He beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Kate, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,300 tomorrow.